Hello there, I'm Tim and he's John, and this is episode 143 of the Van Hemlock Podcast.
We're back
and we've been playing some games. Should we talk about them a bit?
I think we must.
Fair enough.
We're contractually. That's the word.
See, words. It's your weakness.
I just did an hour, 20 minutes on the news show. I can't talk anymore.
Earlier in the week.
Oh, yeah. Earlier in the week. I'm still worn out. You'd better talk.
All right. So let's start with Warhammer Online. The hipster battalion still going against all the odds. I think we had a full
over by Christmas.
Over by Christmas, absolutely. A little bit of Land of the Dead this week. It's getting to become a bit of a habit. We go in there, we do a public quest and a half, and then it goes, order have access to the zone. And then within about 4 minutes, 35 seconds, we get overrun by about 200 order from somewhere. I don't know why they keep coming in, to be honest, with the busy trampling us out. I get quite bitter. I'm just wondering if order is quite dominant on this server, and I haven't noticed all this time, because it's not really become apparent until we've reached Tier 4.
I think probably yes.
We're doing some more Tier 4 stuff. I've bitched a lot about difficulties and discrepancies and stuff already on previous weeks. I think this is going to become quite a repeating type of section of this kind of show if things don't pick up a bit, we don't find something a bit different to do.
Well, you have to gripe until they fix it.
Just keep bitching about it. Well, the basic problem... Well, they did fix it, sort of. They've done a patch. All the various PvP superset armors, Annihilators, Conquerors, Vanguards, all that sort of stuff, Vanquishers, they've all been jiggered down the ranks a bit and spread out a bit more evenly. But trouble is, we were only just entering Tier 4 in the first place. So I logged on after they'd done it and had a quick look, and I think I've got all but one piece of Conqueror's armour now, which I wouldn't have otherwise had until God knows when. Which has helped me a bit. I've got a few more stats there, but I am still basically renown rank 35 in a place where most people are renown rank 80. And it is making a big difference. More importantly, I'm not actually level 40 yet, so I'm missing 5 levels worth of stats and abilities in the first place. There, they boost your hit points up to the top.
Can you kill anyone?
No, I can't. So I spent quite a bit of time almost killing people in Tier 3 instead, so that was alright, that helped. We had a look at Bastion Stair, you know, eternal care bear that I am. I've decided I've had enough of this Tier 4 stuff already.
Is it a repeatable instance based on the stair motif?
It is a little bit, yes. Oh. It's big stairs that go down this time.
Oh, down.
Down,
okay.
Not up, yes. No, it's quite good. It's all sort of... It's this whole... I don't know how to describe it, frankly. It's in the Chaos Wastes, off to one corner in this big land of bleak ice and rock. And there's just this massive temple to Khorne in one corner, the blood god of the...
Not the band.
Not the band, no. And it's all there with brass angles and red walls and lots of angry gore beasts, you know, sort of bipedal, rams-headed people. It's very much like Mount Gunbad that we were doing back down in the sort of 20s. This is a level sort of 30 up to 40 dungeon. Just stuffed full of repeatable quests and content for groups. You know, very much the traditional MMO dungeon crawl, which is something you just don't get a lot of in Warhammer at all. I think we were the only people in there, and quite possibly the only people who'd seen the place in a very long time as well. You could tell because a lot of monsters we were coming across, both there and in Land of the Dead, had the Knight of Murder swirlies over their heads, little red skull and crossbones. And that was the Valentine's event. So,
oh.
Yeah, exactly.
So long lived.
Two or three weeks later, these monsters still haven't been touched by anyone at all. And we're still seeing these around the world, which suggests that most people just don't even bother with this content anymore at all. It's PvP.
You need to find where all the monsters live, because there'll be a sign there saying X days since the last accident, and you can see...
We're proud of our safety record, yeah. Yeah, so we like the Bastion stair there. It's challenging. There's a couple of public quests as you work your way down the stairs, and then there's a big arena thing at the bottom where you got to do a lot of rounds of fighting monsters in the arena, and we did all right in there. It was quite good. Then we found the obligatory Whirly at the very bottom, which contains its own little self-contained boss fight, which we wiped on immediately.
Okay.
As you do. Yeah, I don't know, read the strat, whatever. The trouble is, no one's written any strategies for this stuff, because no bugger ever goes there. Yep. So we are forging new ground.
Is it winnable?
I don't know. It may just be broken and no one cares. This is the other thing with Warhammer you have to remember. We often humorously refer to it as Bughammer online. There's a lot, a very large QA issue with the game in its current state. It was rushed out. There's a lot of stuff. They got a lot of content in there, but they'd obviously skimped a bit on the QA department or didn't have enough budget or money, because there's just a huge amount of repeatable defects in there that we keep coming across and just laughing at and then carrying on. And I think everyone else does that too. There's stuff in there that's been broken every time I've ever been in there. But yes, we've sort of worked our way down and had a good old romp, got a few decent items out of chests and stuff. Good. I think I'm seeing us doing a bit more Bastion Stair. It's like our little refuge when the nasty PvP people keep killing us. Because we can go there and we know that no one else will go there at all, ever. So it's quite a private little place. It's almost like our guild house, to be honest. The actual PvP is, I don't know. I popped on my own on a different night of the week and accidentally got dragged into a city siege. So I've seen one of those now. We had a go at Altdorf. It was bizarre. I had no idea what I was doing. I just turned up at the back, you know. It was like this huge horde of people all at the city gate waiting to go in, and I'm just there, hello, I'm a healer.
I always think of the small boat that's sucked along by the fleet in Small Gods.
Small Gods by Terry Pratchett. Absolutely. That's how I felt. I was just like drifting along at the back going, what's going on here then? Hello, I'm new. You know, and all these people just go in. You know, they weren't even talking to each other. They'd done this stuff so many times. They knew exactly what to do, and I had no clue. Anyway, an Altdorf city siege. It seems to take place in a number of stages. First stage, you have to go in and capture banners all around the city. They function a bit like battle objectives out in a normal zone. We did that section completely unopposed by any order players whatsoever, which was interesting. So I was just charging around at the back with everyone, throwing the occasional heal and buff because I wanted to feel useful. And I got moved from one group to another. There was all some sort of raid coordination going on. And there's me turning up. Didn't really want to mention that I was actually 35 and was just hoping no one had noticed. Then once you've fought for and held down all these different... This actually takes place in Altdorf, which is the Order's capital city. Presumably when they attack us, they get to rampage around the inevitable city.
You don't want to waste good geometry.
No, but I got all sorts of exploration ticks in the Tome of Knowledge, which I'd have never seen on a destruction character otherwise. So
it's
that was
a really nice city.
It is quite interesting. Yeah, very well done, densely packed medieval city of the sort of Holy Roman Empire sort of time. And it is interesting to have a wander. I've seen it before, obviously, as an order characters. But you get a different version of it during the city siege, which is all like on fire and the lighting's all different.
That's excellent.
Yeah, it's quite cool. I really felt like I was going for it. Only trouble is there was no order fighting back at all. This was getting on for about 11:30, 12:00 at night. Sort of midnight, just as, you know, we'd finished. Well, they'd all finished doing the big pairing maps locks, and so I thought, oh, I'll go along, have a look. And either Order had given up and gone to bed because they all had school in the next morning.
It's quite possible.
Yeah, or they just saw no point at all in defending a city like that because they don't get anything. I don't know. I think there's something really screwy about defence rewards, like you don't get any or something.
Well, you don't want to reward people for doing what they should be doing.
Well, I don't know.
They should just be doing it. Otherwise, they will lose their families and homes.
Well, exactly. Yeah, a lot of people just didn't particularly care about the role-playing side of it all. But so stage one complete, banners all secured. Then stage two becomes a sort of escort quest. You appear back at the start of the city, and this time all of the big NPCs, Tzharnik, who's like the big chaos leader, and a whole bunch of his lieutenants and stuff, they all turn up in the city, and you have to escort them through the city while they attack all the famous Order NPCs, Karl Franz, I think, is the emperor there, and so on. So you got this big sort of NPC fight going on, which you have to assist with. You know, you have to get them through, make sure they don't get killed their big NPCs. And again, no order showed up at all, so that was quite perfunctory, I think. It sort of ticked on through without any real intervention from us at all. We sort of guided them to the various points. We throwed loads of debuffs on the order NPCs, got them all driven away and beaten. Then the final bit It takes place in the throne room itself at the back of the city, and you have to assault the emperor himself, and your emperor guy is there as well, and it's a huge boss fight. And what happens is Czarnek there calls on the powers of chaos, and actually what he does, he picks out six players in the big battle group,
okay,
and turns them into massive great, I think they're about sort of two or three times the size of a normal player character model, and they get all sorts of superpowers and everything, and they become giant champions, and they all get to wade in as well. Fortunately I didn't get picked as one of those. I was dreading that. I thought, oh great, I'm in charge, I've got superpowers, what do I do next? I've never been here before, hello. I'm new.
We could try running that way.
Let's attack the thing with the red name, I guess. Go, charge. Yeah, but basically it was just a massive zerg. Everyone charged into the throne room, all wailed on the big emperor guy. Reduced him to tears. Didn't actually kill him, because I suppose if you kill him, that's the end.
Yeah,
the game closes, yeah. But so we sort of defeated him, and then we all got a roll on the board. Three rolls on public quest chest bags, which I got. I got a gold bag on one of them as well. I mean, regular players of Warhammer will know how bizarre the allocation of
everyone gets a chance.
Everyone gets a chance, no matter how little work they've done. I've literally run past public quests and not stopped sometimes, and found a gold bag in the mail 2 days later. I got a piece of sovereign armour, which has a requirement of level 40 and renown rank 90. Oh. So I've put that in my bank, you know, one day, something I can work towards.
You're never wearing that, are you?
I know, I felt guilty. I felt like I should have opted out of the roll, to be honest. But then I thought, no, I haven't got a piece yet, so I'll roll, you know, whatever.
Wow.
I know, selfish me. I'm probably never going to get to that. I'll quit the game. Can you sell it? Before. No, they're all bind on acquire, so
yeah,
but then these things happen, these city sieges happen sort of once every other day, I suppose, so you get chances at rolling again. Yeah, it was interesting, but I think there was one warrior priest on order who just kept popping out of nowhere, singling me out somehow. He knew that I was only renown rank 35, and it was basically at the very end.
It's not that he knew you were around now rank 35, he knew you were five levels below.
Possibly that too, yeah. Yeah. For some reason, he just sort of came out, and it's basically at the end of each phase when it had finished and it was counting down and waiting for the next bit and everyone else had buggered off. It just came out of nowhere, wham, straight for me.
You were the only one there he could kill.
Yeah, but how he knew that, I don't quite understand.
Did he have the level on you?
No, well, sort of. I suppose I would have shown up as grey to him, I suppose. But yeah, damn, it wasn't like he was checking people. He just came out of nowhere, barreling straight forward. Me. It was like quite frightening after the second or third stage where he'd attempted this. But I was stood in the middle of a big cluster of people who were like just kicked the hell out of him and stomped him into the ground. So, you know, I got friends. He was literally the only Order player defending the entire of Altdorf.
But he gets bragging rights. Oh, it was just me against them all and I got killed.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he didn't actually kill me in the end either, but poor bugger. Oh, I admire his willing, though. You know, yeah. At least he was trying. Like no one, I don't know what happened. Does everyone else just not bother, or is it just that the capital city defence gives you nothing at all for successful defence? So you might as well just let them roll through and then carry on.
You'll have to try defence and see what happens.
Well, I have to try and get a bit better of a picture on what happens at the top end. But yeah, the rest of our gang are all in that bracket now. We're all in tier 4. I mean, I think many of us are probably going to try sticking around tier 3 for as long as possible, because before we actually ding 40. Because I mean, yeah, aside from the sheer vast spectacle of a tier 4 battle, it's a massive sense of impotence about it all as well. So yeah, still going with it. I think I can see the end in sight now, though. I'm starting to think that we've basically looked at almost everything there is to see now.
It'll be over by Christmas.
It will be over by Christmas. I think it'll be over sooner, to be honest. So Tuesdays, Pirates of the Burning Sea, we did Bay's Retreat, which is fantastic. I think
let me guess. Mm-hmm.
Go on then.
A story based on filmmaker Michael.
Not Michael Bay, right. No. B-E-Y. Yes. Some historical fact. I don't know. It's basically a chained set of missions that is available, I think, Caracas, somewhere along the Brazilian, the Venezuelan coast or whatever there. And it's great. It's a proper group mission series. It's almost like your Lord of the Rings epic books or your City of Heroes task forces or whatever. It's a chain set of missions that needs six people. We had five. We did all right, though. You turn up at this cove, start fighting these various ships. I can't even remember why we were there, to be honest. That happens a lot to me in Pirates of the Burning Sea. I just go along with whatever other group missions are happening. But then there's a boss galleon comes out, and my God, he hits like a fire truck. We had to try and deal with a boss fight in galleons and naval ships, which was quite unusual and unexpected.
Was it an ironclad?
No.
That'd be cool.
It was just a big old galleon of sorts, but it could put out enormous broadsides, and we've really not got any idea. See, the thing is, it's a boss fight with the traditional boss fight sort of numbers and statistics and everything, only there's no Trinity in this game.
Ah.
Yeah, so basically, I think some of the naval officer skills might be taunts, I'm not sure, but basically involved me getting up close and just absolutely getting hammered and then trying to quickly turn my ship around so I've got the other side of armour while I patch up. So I found myself tanking. I'm not quite sure how, but we got no taunts, we got no heals, you know, none of the traditional things a Trinity needs to work. But we got through, we got there in the end. And then once you beat him, then you land, and then there's a big battle through a whole load of caves with the sword fighty stuff, and then you're up into this fortress and you have to deal with a boss who's like a torturer in the jail section, and then there's the fortress commander and you have to fight them as well. And once you beat them, you get an attack by sea, so it's back out to the boats, and then you got to go and activate a whole bunch of sea forts by landing crew with them and stuff, and then there's a heroic epic sea battle at the beginning, and then the zone server reset and we had to start from the beginning again.
It sounds
it was terrible.
It sounds awfully like a Star Trek Online type mission.
It probably
but
is,
but with
yeah.
less server resets.
It's probably very similar sorts of things exist in Star Trek Online, but it was just really good combination of the sword fighting, of the sea stuff. There was boss fights, there was a certain element of escort mission there. You had to figure stuff out. It was really good, a really well-rounded package that shows the potential of what the game can do, apart from the... it was so infuriating. We worked for about 2 hours on some really tricky content, and we were doing really well, enjoying ourselves, and boom, server
the game. Still new, they couldn't get the bugs out.
I don't know if this chain of missions is a fairly recent thing or what. I've only heard people talking about it in recent weeks, so perhaps it's something that's gone in recently. I don't know, but... well, we'll be doing it again, but it makes you wonder, doesn't it? You start to get a bit nervous about trying.
Yeah.
You think, well, if at any point during this the whole thing just resets, what's the point in beginning it? Because it did take a long time. We got a lot of XP and cash and doubloons and things from it all, so worth doing. And it was just a really good ripping yarn as well, you know, exactly the sort of thing you're looking for when you sign up for Pirates of the Burning Sea. You got the swashbuckling, you got the naval combat, you got the weevils. It was all there. It was amazing. So I think we probably will be doing that again, probably once we're sure that the servers are a little bit more stable. I've been doing a lot of free tradering as well on my alt, possibly with the intention of replacing my naval officer with a free trader. I don't know, just something a bit less PvP expectation based, you know.
Opting out of PvP the easy way.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you could man up and tell them that you hate PvP.
We were doing PvP or of a sort the other week. We were patrolling. If you get your group together, in the top corner is an STR value, and that gets bigger as you are in bigger ships, as your level goes up, and as more people join your group. And if you can get that value over 150, you can now patrol red hotspot zones on the map. It basically means you sit outside the port in patrol mode with your PvP flag on, and as you just sit there, the unrest in that port goes down if it's a friendly port, or you can do blockade on enemy ports. I think you need 200 strength for that, and a similar thing happens. You just wait outside the port lurking, and the unrest just ticks up and up.
You're basically
camping.
Praying to whatever gods you believe in that fleet of PvP people don't come along and call your bluff.
Yes, exactly. We saw the thing is, when you're flag PvP, everyone else becomes a PvP flag as well, effectively, because you can attack anyone you like if you've got PvP flag on. Everyone can attack you, that's right, so they all light up as a potential PvP, but a lot of them are just going about their business and wouldn't attack you at all even if they wanted to. But it was just it was great. We were helping because there's a real sort of push to try over nation chat to try and coordinate the attack on the whole Caribbean, and people are helping out here, there and everywhere and doing what they can, and we were basically on a kind of defensive detail traveling around the Caribbean as troubleshooters, going to ports wherever unrest had been built on British ports and quashing it by just parking our big scary boats outside their harbour,
as you do.
Yeah. I think we were doing the missions as well. There's missions you can do to increase or decrease unrest in each port. They become available, and they give you tokens you can hand in those, and that helps as well. Basically, we were doing our bit to maintain order throughout the Caribbean, and it was really good. I'm not sure what we'd have done if another fleet of six people had shown up and had a go. The idea is that you sit there until someone bigger than you scares you off or attacks you, and then they can do it in reverse and build the unrest back up or down again. So it's sort of... It's not so much straight go out, find someone, attack them PvP. It's more let's have a look at all the various objectives and work on a plan and a campaign.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's PvP, well, RVR, I suppose, as opposed to PvP. You know, PvP is often about just straight fights one-on-one.
Pretend PvP for the people who don't want to do it.
I know, I have to justify myself to you.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
It's the whole point of the show.
Oh, it is, isn't it?
Justify yeah. yourself.
Justify my gaming for the Fortnite. Like I say, I've been working on my free trader a lot. I've decided that structure deeds are the way forward. I've developed up my own little economy to be very good at producing plans for construction of other sorts of buildings, of which there seems to be no shortage of demand, so that's good. The good thing about structure deeds is they count as personal inventory, not ship cargo hold inventory. So when you use your teleport to somewhere else where one of my ships is anchored skill, you can take the deeds with you, but you couldn't take, like, you know, 100 tons of iron.
How is teleporting without your ship historically accurate?
You're booking passage to another port. That's what okay. that's what the notion
but
is.
But you have a ship.
Well, you'd sailed there previously with another ship, and then you book passage back to a place where you can own more than one ship, you know.
Okay.
Yes.
So, any transporters.
So my plan is basically using my base of operations, which is in Bartica, just to keep producing. Well, I'll sail around the Caribbean, find different ports with different resources, then work out what they need for deeds, teleport back to Bartica, make the deeds, teleport back again, and put the deeds on the market.
Excellent.
Yeah. So I'm enabling people to start their own businesses and so on. And it is actually making me money, which is always a relief when I try mercantile gameplay.
Yeah, because usually you do get that equation wrong.
The tin plan, yeah. If I do this and this and this, I can... Oh, lose loads of money. Damn it. Back to the drawing board, yeah. There's been a couple of occasions where I've invested far too much capital in my cargo hold and have been unable to then list the items on the marketplace because I haven't got enough money left to do the fees.
I've done that in EVE before, many, many years ago.
And I can't afford to make it go on for sale. Oh, I'll have to go and do a mission then. It seems like a sort of failure as a
I
free
seem
trader.
To remember shooting NPCs with my battle badger.
Just to get enough bounties together to afford the broker listings. Yeah, it's coming along well, though. I mean, it's like I remarked earlier, I've got this strange hypnotic fascination with very long sea journeys in Pirates of the Burning Sea. So few of my games have that colour palette, you know, that sort of... The blue waters and the blue sky and the jaunty music and the sound of the waves and, you know, it all just comes together to become quite therapeutic in a way. So I've got a very soft spot in my heart for Pirates of the Burning Sea compared to many of the other games I play, which are often brown affairs.
Not over by Christmas?
Not over by Christmas. I don't know. I mean, I haven't spent anything on it yet in their cash shop, which... makes me a bad customer, yeah, and also it suggests that I don't have a huge amount of fascination or attraction to it. You know, I don't invest. I'm not investing in it, so I don't know why that is. Maybe that's just ingrained habit or what.
You're a content leech.
I am. I'm a parasite. But there you go. Can't have everything. Let's see. We've been playing more Planet Side. Oh, there's a great one this week. We had this fantastic tower capture. It all bogged down on Ishunda, one of the desert continents. We were attacking from one base to another. Big ravine and a bridge across it. And, of course, the bridge, as often they do, turned into a massive sort of trench warfare sniper fest with mines everywhere and people occasionally suicidally driving vehicles across the thing. Like me! I was loading everyone up into the battle bus, the Leviathan. It has a mine clearance blast of EMP, which I keep getting the wrong button for, and I keep pressing the horn instead. So yeah, I think at least twice I managed to blow the entire squad up by running just full tilt across a minefield.
Impressive.
Going that was great.
Most impressive.
I love the horn. The horn's great. But more seriously, we managed to... Well, there's a whole big bridge battle that bogged down. Everyone on each side not going to get in anywhere. So I thought, well, why don't we use the bridge to the north? You know, there's another bridge. No one had thought of that. No, exactly. Quite pioneering strategist.
This is the difference between infantry and special forces.
I'm Sun Tzu, me, I am. When enemy has bridge, try other bridge. Yes. We tried the other bridge. And I went over in a tank, and I can't remember who was doing the gunning for me at the time. I think it was Occasional Hero. We were sort of just... looking out for trying some flanking with the mag rider. Went across this other bridge and then thought, oh, let's have a look at the tower. Nothing, no one, no guards. There's a few automated defenses, but no people around. I thought, right, okay. So, and having mumble really helps, voice chat. It's almost essential, I think, to get anything useful done in Planet Side in a regular squad. So I got the other guys to load up into bombers, the old Liberators there, and not actually go on a bombing run, just fly north and come round. dropped on the tower. We all got inside. There was one or two people trying to keep us out. We shot them down, managed to hold it. And due to the way the ebb and the flow of the battle works, we managed to get it so that everyone started respawning at the tower. Yeah, everyone that was dying on the bridge battle was teleporting over to the tower, which is behind the base we were attacking. And they all just piled out. And within about 15 minutes, we'd taken the base. So I felt quite chuffed. We were pivotal in altering the flow of battle and capturing that base. I love it when that sort of thing happens. You just sort of, you know, you see an opportunity and you manage to get the timing right, and you're not overpoweringly opposed, and it goes through and it all works. It was brilliant. And we managed about four bases captured on that continent in that time, and then it all sort of bogged down. It's all very much about the ebb and the flow of who's logged on and who isn't, and the numbers.
Bit like war.
Very much like war, yes. It's all about the numbers, the combatants, and when they decide to go to bed.
Yeah.
That's what made
World War One last so long.
Very satisfying, all in all, though. We had a couple of forays in the death bus. You know, it's just, I think it's just a useless item, but very funny. I mean, it's got a crew complement of 10. You could get 5 mag riders for that, and yeah, put a Leviathan versus 5 mag riders. I know who'd win.
Yeah.
And the guns are all right, but I think it's just the horn. I like the horn; it makes a great noise, which is probably not the best way to be choosing your armaments for a protracted campaign. Lord of the Rings Online this week. We all bogged down on Grimbark. Yeah, well, we got book 3 done, more or less. I think everyone's finished there. We're giving it a few weeks before we start book 4, though, because I think there's a bit of a level gap there anyway. And also, we just want to sort of make sure, because what happens previously, we've found with these books, is we'll get so far through the book and then hit a level requirement for the next step. And that's really annoying.
Yeah.
So what I'm trying to do is get it so that everyone is of a level where we can do the whole book in one go. It won't stop and say, right, no, come back again in
It also makes
three
those
hours.
First couple of missions somewhat easier.
Yeah, exactly. You can ease into the start of them a bit better as well. Yeah, book 4 coming up will be the... you remember the walk in the woods with Legolas?
Oh, God.
Yeah, I see that you do. Yes.
He needs one of those... You know those straps with the leads you
baby
put babies
walker,
on? Yeah,
yeah. Oh, it's a hell of a... It's a nightmarish, hellish escort mission, but I don't want to put anyone off, so forget I just said that. So what we're doing, we're now level appropriate for Garth the Garwin, which is your Lone Lands dungeon set. Yeah, that's all been transformed. Well, we never finished it in our day, did we? Because it was so bloody huge. It took about 3 hours to get as far as we did, and there was still about another hour's worth of content to wade through before you got to the Red Maid herself. I don't think I've ever seen her. We never got that far.
No, we didn't.
There's a number of sub-bosses along the way who were challenging enough. We got Ivar, didn't we, and Grimbark himself. But that was all in the six-man days. It's now all been divvied up. It's been divided into 3 sections. There's the Arboretum, the Barrow, and the Fortress. The Fortress is 6-man dungeon, same as, you know, usual thing.
Yeah.
The Arboretum and the Barrow are 3-man dungeons, and we're having so much trouble with 3-man dungeons. And I remember back in the day when we tried, was it the school in Eregion? Or the school or the library, I can't remember which one. The 3-man dungeons there where we split into teams. And
yeah.
We just about managed to get it done, but it took us about 3 goes, and we were a perfect Trinity combination group. It was the other poor buggers I felt sorry for.
Oh, yeah.
It was basically just 3 champions, was it 2 champions and a runekeeper walk into a 3-man instance, yeah. I imagine anyone who knows Lotro is probably giggling already. But
do we have the Hunter?
Yes, we had a minstrel, a guardian, and a hunter.
Yeah, perfect balance.
Well, yeah, you say that, but it still took us about 4 goes.
Well, it's not to say we were any good at the game.
Theoretically, we were well placed to do it, yeah. But the other group came away with the largest repair bills they'd ever had in all their time playing the game. So there's something I just don't like. I've decided I don't like 3-man. Well, for starters, as I've remarked before on many occasions, I like content where all of my friends can come and help at once, and 3-man dungeoneering is almost the opposite of that. I mean, the only step down from there is soloing.
Oh yeah, but a 3-man dungeon
very
is
very exclusive, very excluding.
Oh, but it's very inclusive because if you've only got 2 friends, you can do it.
Yeah, that's fine as long as your 2 friends are a guardian and a minstrel.
And better than
you must have precisely the correct 3 classes to do these. I mean, it's been a real education over the last 2 weeks, seeing what group compositions have gotten how far against Grimbark. Grimbark's an enormous tree monster. He drops beehives. The bees are a damage over a time effect.
Don't hit the bees.
You're not allowed to hit the beehives. If you kill the beehive, you've failed the challenge. And so you don't get your big special token. And you need 5 of these special tokens for the cool item at the end of it all. And I don't know. We've tried proper food. You know, food was... Because we keep running out of power. And I think, well, okay, about good meals. That'll help with the power regen, yeah, to a point. Potions. We're necking potions and everything. And it's just really unsatisfying seeing how absolutely precisely Trinity-based it has to be. You've got to have a Guardian. I mean, we've tried with Champion tanks. We've tried with Warden tanks. And they may be theoretically possible. Remember, this is a level 32 instance, and if you're much higher, you can still set it to 32. See, I go to look for strategies, and I go to look for guys on forums, and all I get is, noobs, we did it with three lore masters. You know, whatever. That's not helping. That's not answering the question, is it? I don't care. Answer the damn question. Anyway, so and some of our people have done it, and it is typically a Guardian as a tank and a Minstrel as a healer. I think we might have got it as a Runekeeper as a healer, might have gotten through just about. But I think we're talking a couple of levels above 32 to get through. And it's just really annoying. I mean, you know, you sort of roll up there. It's everything I hate about class-based MMOs. You start at the beginning of your MMO and you think, oh, great, you know, look, there's a whole load of interesting roles I can try here. I'm going to go with, I don't know, Lore Master or a Champion or something. They sound cool. And you get halfway through the game and you get near the end of the game and then you discover that you made a big mistake and that you should have picked one of the three correct classes.
Yeah, I had that problem.
You sucker, you picked the wrong one right at the start. You fell into our first trap.
I had the problem. I started playing a MMO which may have launched in the last 2 weeks. And I spent so much time trying to pick the class which I thought would be the least problematic.
Yeah, that's what it comes down to. You're in the character creation screen and you immediately pick what class you want to be and you're thinking, oh God, I don't want to get this wrong. You know, the idea that there is that wrong class.
Yeah.
It seems to be coming to light.
I don't want to get three quarters of the way through and just think, oh, I have to restart.
I should have been one of those.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, can't be asked.
It's ridiculous. I was sitting there on Friday and I was thinking, God, how long will it take me to get a Guardian up to 30? I've already got a level 65 Guardian, you know? I shouldn't have to be a Guardian again because that's the only class I know how to play. I don't know. I was getting a lot of healer angst anyway, let's put it that way. And yes, I suppose part of it was my own inability to play, but part of it is just the absolute lack of room for manoeuvre. You've got no slack at all in a three-man group. For Lotro, you got to get it perfect, or you might as well not bother. And part of that getting it perfect is bringing the right bloody class along. I mean, I am supposed to be the best healer in the game, I suppose. I don't know. Perhaps it's this crazy thing like what happens in World of Warcraft, where in fact the best tank is a bear druid.
I often suspected healer that minstrels were pretty much pointless.
Well, but then in Warcraft, also the best healer is in fact a druid as well, in a different shape. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't understand this stuff. So quite angsty. We were trying mixing and matching. We did a bit of normal skirmishing back to Gondomon and had a go at that. That was all right, you know. We know what we're doing with that. And also that lets all 10, 11 of us come along on one trip, which was nice, you know. That's why I game in static groups on these Monday nights, you know, not to all go away into various different little three-man chat rooms and, you know, not actually play with the people I want to hang out with on the Friday night. So I don't know. I'm just getting really annoyed with the three-man concept. I don't know why they've done it. Why? Is that because no one has the social know-how to put together a six-man group anymore?
Well, you've got to support the smaller groups of people.
I suppose. I know. I've come complete full reverse since I started MMO gaming. Back then, I believed everything should be soloable. Oh, well. We tried the six-man bit as well, and that didn't go too well either. I think part of it is that...
You're all rubbish.
We're all rubbish. No, not rubbish. We're all great people.
You're great people, but it's rubbish at the game, apparently.
I don't want to say that.
I will, because I'm not playing. Yeah. Although I will point out that our last group was rubbish as well.
Yes.
We were spectacularly rubbish in places.
Yeah, but we got through, didn't we? We managed to tick off a couple of those Moria instances. We could do the Grand Stair. We did that Great Forge as well. We finished that.
Oh, that was horrible.
It took us two goes or something, and we actually did finish it. So this stuff is doable, but it's just the variable difficulty. And I question whether three-man instances... I don't know what... I mean, I wouldn't mind if they gave us a six-man version as well. Beef it up a bit, or vice versa, whatever.
Get the old version even.
Tone it down a bit for the three-man instance. I don't know, whatever. I want to... You go into these games with an expectation that you're going to hang out with the same six people all the way through, you know. No, right now you have to... Well, it was like one of the reasons we jacked it all in to begin with when we were following the big stories. It kept it forcing solo instances on us. So I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of 3 man instances, but we'll. I don't know. I feel like we ought to give it a go, try and get the hang of it, because there's some decent rewards there, and this kind of stuff would be otherwise unattainable if all our little group members were just trying to solo their way through the game. What's the point in doing group stuff if you're not going to get the rewards of doing it as well?
True.
I don't know. It made me all quite angsty, but I know that there's more to the game than just these weird 3 man instances scattered here and there, and I'm going to keep going with it all anyway, so there we go. Do you want to hear about my console gaming?
Not really.
No? Okay.
No, go on then.
No.
It's not up to what I want.
Well, there's Bioshock 2 I've been mostly finishing, actually. Yeah, so I completed it in the end. I talked a bit about it on the previous What We're Playing. I don't know. It grew on me. It does get better towards the end.
I must finish that game.
Yeah. I suppose it's the old thing that where at the beginning it's all different and unfamiliar and you're not very good at it because you haven't got any decent powers and stuff. But towards the end, your own personal ability and powers sort of out level curves the monsters, and so but toward the end of the game you are actually quite powerful. I found the winter blast and spear gun was a good combo. Freeze them on the spot and then shoot them in the head with a sniper rifle. Yeah, poof, ice cubes everywhere. Does tend to remove the loot a lot of the time, but I'm not a very material person anyway. Just want to get through alive. Yeah, the plot's quite good. I mean same problems I thought about last time, in the novelty of Rapture is no longer there. You've seen it before, which detracts from it a bit. I mean, some of the levels are nice, interesting, but mostly quite similar, more of the same sort of thing. Dr. Lam, yeah, sort of an interesting character, fairly strong, but not nearly as good as the Andrew Ryan figure from the first game. I tell you what, though, Bring Your Daughter to Work Day at the end there is amazing. I'm not going to say any more than that. Bit spoilerific, but I got the neutral ending.
You are very boring.
Neutral. No, I was striving very hard for the good ending because I genuinely care about these things. It affects me deeply if I can't help these imaginary
make-believe people.
If you
can't be good in real life, you might as well be good in games.
That's it. Exactly. I don't have the conviction to do altruistic acts in real life, so I might do with computer games. But no, what happened was I was rescuing little sisters, and I have this dyslexia with the X and Y buttons.
Oh, everyone has that.
Yeah, and of course X is harvest and Y is save, and I pushed the wrong button, and that's going to leave a mark on my karma. Yeah, it didn't go well. And it seemed to hold that against me right at the end of the game. Well, I was doing a bit of reading around, and you can get the good ending two ways. You can save all the little sisters, and then one of the three optional NPC encounters that occur throughout the game. I'm not going to say who or where, or you can fluff one little sister, get the wrong button like I did. Whoops! But then you have to save all three of the NPC optionals throughout the game.
And you failed.
Well, it was this weird thing that I came across in Mass Effect 2 in the video game designer's interpretation of subjective morality.
Yeah.
didn't mesh with my own.
I get that an awful lot.
Yeah, I did a thing which I believed was the right course of action, but which the game marked me down as being a monster for. You see, I mean, I'm thinking of Mass Effect 2. Basically, anytime you have conversational options relating to the genophage with the Krogan genophage there, if you think you go, no, it's monstrous, you should have allowed them to overrun the galaxy instead of messing with their DNA. That's a paragon outlook.
Yeah.
And if you say, well, no, you did what you had to do to stop them overrunning the rest of the galaxy, that's a renegade option. You see, that's bad. So, I don't know, I get confused sometimes with this. Are the people designing and writing these video games philosophically more naive creatures than I am, or they're not just pragmatic,
are they just monsters?
I don't know. Anyway, I feel I was unfairly marked down and I ended up with a neutral ending, which was a shame. But and it's so I came away from it quite affected. I thought, that's a shame. Yeah, you know, it got to me a bit, but I did give it back anyway, so I wasn't affected enough that I needed to immediately try again and this time aim for good. I thought, whatever, leave it there. I think a good game, not as good as Bioshock, but a good game nonetheless.
Can a sequel ever?
Well, sometimes. Assassin's Creed 2 is amazingly better than Assassin's Creed 1, but in this case, about the same, perhaps not quite as strong. Yeah. So there you go. Right, over to you.
Oh, okay. Wow. Yes, I started playing Rift.
Oh, yes. Tell me all about this Rift thing. I hear a lot of the kids are playing. This is what the kids like.
Yeah,
it's the hip thing.
It's a game about lots and lots of people and rifts.
Is this one of your usual, I played it for 10 minutes, I better talk about it?
Yeah. No, I played it for a couple of hours.
All right, good.
and I haven't been back in, which is probably quite telling.
Oh, well, is it though? You are notorious for not liking computer games, fun, or people.
Yeah. The thing is,
yeah,
it's a very, very well put together game.
I'm getting a lot of this from what everyone's saying.
Brilliantly, works flawlessly, it feels right, it all the bit just work and it's there, and it feels like a game which has been out for a couple of years.
That's
not a game
that
just
is something,
came out.
Yeah.
It's very much in the WoW school. With a couple of tweaks here and there.
Yeah.
And it is, I can't fault the game really.
So it's like very much by the numbers, but they've got those numbers perfectly correct.
The problem I have
right
is it does nothing for me.
Oh, right. But
there
then
is nothing, the world I should love. Yeah. But it's just not pulling me in.
Okay.
And so therefore I get the whole Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, the what shall I play moment.
Yeah, what shall I play? I ended up in Star Trek again because I thought I could play Rift or I could play Star Trek.
Yeah.
Yeah, just lacking something. It's not meshing with me on an important level. And
it's lacking some kind of hook.
Yeah, and I don't know why, and it's bugging me why I don't know why.
Yeah, because I've seen a lot of people who just love it to bits, who are immediately comfortable and familiar and have dropped straight into a continued life of MMO gaming with this new title as if...
Yeah.
I don't know. Is it just, you know, what's there already but more of it?
I don't know. It'd be interesting to know the correlation between the people who really like WoW and the people who really like this.
I'm seeing, like I say, with the board walking thing I did a while back on Warhammer, I mean, Rift has very much been pegged as a successor to where to go next if you're bored of Warhammer online. So is that happening a bit with World of Warcraft? I've been afraid to do a board walking on World of Warcraft. I've got to do it eventually.
I think you have to do it, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah,
spiritual successor, I suppose. Is that a valid term?
I think so, yeah. It basically takes a bunch of stuff from all these games and does it perfectly.
Yeah.
From what I can see.
Yeah, yeah, which on the face of it ought to be the best thing ever. It's like these other games, but done really well and there's new content.
Yeah.
What couldn't you like about that if you already like the existing games?
I probably need to put a couple more hours in, but the problem with that is the moment I start thinking I should put a couple more hours in to see if I like this game, the voice in the back of my head goes, you aren't liking this game, why are you going to waste a couple more hours with it?
If you have to ask the question. Yeah, yeah, I know what you mean. You shouldn't be I still don't know. I need to find out more about this game. You either like it or you don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, and clearly you seem to have bounced off it a bit.
That's the risk that you always get when people criticise MMOs, which is oh, you haven't played it for 700 hours. How can you know what it's really like?
Oh, I don't hold with that. That's rubbish. You can tell within the first hour or two if you're going to broadly like it or not. The rest of it's refinements and
details.
If
you can't tell from the first hour, then the designers have done a really bad job.
True. Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, so that leaves us in an awkward situation. I'm on a three-month rule, and you...
I'm going to rate it 9 out of 10.
Based on the 10 minutes you could be bothered to
it's
play.
It's a 9 out of 10 game, which I just don't care
dear.
About.
Okay. Well, perhaps you're not best placed to... Well, no, you've got an opinion. You've played these games before. You know what you're looking at.
If you like WoW, you'll love it.
Yeah, fair enough. Just a shame you don't really like WoW that much.
I assume that's what it is. I can't prove that, though.
Let's have some specifics, then. Tell me about The Rift.
I haven't got as far as the Rift. I couldn't last as far as the Rift.
Made it to the thing that's the title of the game. Right.
I played about an hour.
All right. Well, you need to
maybe more.
Play enough to see a Rift.
I got annoyed at the. Oh, it doesn't think MMOs need to stop doing this, which is having a big area, which has way too many people in trying to kill monsters. And
is that launch day problem?
To take them off. Yeah, it's probably a launch day problem. And they do respawn very, very fast. Mm. It was just I got really fed up. And I
3 month rule, see?
I didn't have a ranged attack at that point.
Following the 3 month rule, I've never encountered this problem.
Yeah. Didn't have a ranged attack at that point. Running to catch a monster. Next thing you know, badoomph. Oh,
yeah,
bastard.
Yeah, contention's a bit higher than in the early days.
It's probably dropped a bit.
That'll
now.
Settle down, I'm sure. But
yeah,
still annoying, I suppose. Yeah.
Yeah. Really, don't play during the pre-stop.
3 month rule.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. what I'm hearing about the game suggests that here, if you're going to break the 3 month rule, this is probably the one to be doing it.
I'm definitely going to play it some more.
Polished, finished, complete.
I'm going to give it a chance because I bought it and it deserves a chance.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And you're still on your 3 month anyway.
I don't get past the 3 month for many games.
No, you are quite discerning.
Yeah.
I'm auditioning for a new MMO correspondent for the show, by the way.
Do you want to know about the MMO I've been playing obsessively?
Yes, tell us about an MMO.
Star Trek.
It's kind of the point of the show. All right.
Yes, I'm really sucked into Star Trek still.
Okay.
This may stop after this week.
Because
I just finished the latest featured episode and there isn't one for a couple of months.
Oh, you've reached the end of a run of featured episode things.
Yes. Oh. I got myself a Reman Bridge Officer.
I no idea what that even is.
Reman's the big... the guy's from the last old film.
Yeah.
The last next-gen film.
Maybe. Yeah. No, sorry. Is it the big green domed head monster with the big eyes?
We went to the cinema and saw that film.
Yeah, right.
We did actually, yeah.
Oh, hang on, no, it's coming, it's coming back.
One of the few times I got you in the cinema.
The bald guy that was the villain, he had a henchman who was a big scaly face fella.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I'm with you.
He is a Reman.
No, yes. No, they're the villains. Get him off your bridge. He's trying to blow your ship up.
Well, no, actually, they might not be the villains anymore.
Oh, right, okay. Reboot.
Time has gone on and
Okay.
Yeah, so I've got that.
You're just doing this whole thing to collect bridge officers.
I assume that's the time.
Some kind of weird harem thing going
on. I assume that was the timed reward.
All right.
Because you get stuff you only get until the next one comes
out. You'll be in the ready room with your Breen officer, and they'll be going, oh, God, you remember when we were fashionable? Yeah, and you're out on the bridge is the new thing from the new officer.
I'll be training him up so I can take him out on the ground. Yeah,
ragtag alien fleet.
Did I talk about the last week's episode on air?
Possibly not.
With the music?
The music? Yeah, no, you didn't.
Okay, yes. Well, last week's episode was probably the best ever.
Which, fair enough.
You end up having to do... there's a bit of puzzling.
Yeah.
And then there's an arena. You get your ship trapped by a space station while investigating stuff. You have to jump over to the station and try and disable the computer that's holding you, which you do through the medium of math puzzles.
Excellent.
Yeah.
That's what more MMOs need, complex mathematics.
Lots of people saying, oh, you'll need a calculator for this. Really, if you need a calculator.
Well, I probably would, because I'm not very good at mental arithmetic.
Yeah. Yeah, that was okay. That was interesting. A little bit, okay, this is simple maths. Why can't the computer work it out?
yeah. The computer's capable of regulating warps in space.
And then
your
transporter beam's hijacked and you end up in a cage.
Oh, no.
And you're in a cage in an arena.
This is very Star Trek, yes. Yeah.
And you get weapons, and there's a really nice sword, actually, and the Batleth.
Oh, yeah.
That Vulcan-y thing with the stupid thing. It looks like a lampshade. Half lampshade, half the thing for cutting the edge, trimming the edges of your lawn.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
but those circular...
Yeah. Sort of pitting the pendulum sort of thing.
Yeah.
Mm. I think I'm aware of the weapon.
From a mock time.
Yes.
And you end up going out to the arena and fighting to the fight music from a mock time.
Oh, amazing.
I was giggling like a loony.
Oh, absolutely. That's the best music ever.
It is. Yeah, and then after that, you end up having...
So a real original series experience.
Then you escape and you end up having to cross the landscape to get out. And you get this wonderful crashed ship, which is criminally underused. Because it's just this brilliant, beautifully modelled crashed ship.
Oh, yeah.
And you end up going there and you have to do a couple of bits there and then what happens and yada, yada, yada. Huh? But it just so much effort went into this crashed ship. You think, okay, why are they only
just there as a throwaway prop?
Yeah. One thing that I did think, that map would be perfect for, and possibly was designed for, the Mission Builder. There's a lot going
resources.
On there that you could use.
Yeah.
Then there was this week's episode, which wasn't quite as good.
Okay.
Where you basically end up finishing off the plot. I won't go into too much details. Running around on the ground quite a lot. This is really annoying. Well, sort of annoying. They've added a thing where it tells you where to go next.
Ah.
Much like, you know, in Dead Space. No, you don't know.
No, I don't know in Dead Space.
In Dead Space, you do a thing, boom, a line comes up on the floor saying go here next.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it's very much like that, but it makes it feel very linear.
Mm.
And there's some lovely moments in it. In some places, there's this glowing, spinny starship on the ground.
Yeah.
Which you can walk over to. When you're there, you can call down an orbital strike.
Something they never did nearly enough in the show.
Yeah. A bunch of scorpion fighters on a roof. Boom! Destroy it from orbit.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got a spaceship out there. All it's got to do is throw rocks out of an airlock. Wham! Yeah.
And it's all about the Iconians.
You're
really not the target audience.
Okay, this is me nodding, carry on.
Gateway where you can go through and it flicks between different views. Picard went through one.
Missed that one, sorry.
Okay. Yes, anyway, you and the Romulans are using this,
mm-hmm.
but is it all the...
Oh, those pesky Romulans.
Is it the Iconians trying to cause problems?
Ah.
Yeah, and you deal with all that problem, so I don't want to go into too many details.
Nah, fair enough.
But there's an awful lot of running around on gantries and stuff, which is quite fun.
It sounds good. I mean, this is all building up as a sort of back catalogue that almost anyone joining the game now can work their way through.
Yeah, you have to be a sort of minimum level,
yeah,
but
yeah.
From then on, they will scale to the level you are when you do them.
Excellent.
Which is good. You can do it at any
time. I'm looking forward to my eventual go at Star Trek Online, yeah.
And then also, I did some proper levelling.
Okay.
Rear Admiral.
Yay! Rear Admiral, hooray!
You know what that means?
It means you get a different spaceship.
The Port Defiant's been mothballed.
Oh, right.
And I've now got a Sovereign.
You weren't in the Defiant for very long.
No.
You've been making some good progress.
It levels really fast.
Ah.
I'm not exactly playing obsessively. I'm just doing a day a week.
I suppose by just following these story missions, you must be cranking out a fair bit of XP.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, there are slight gaps, but you can almost follow the story from the start to the end of the game.
Oh, that's good, yeah. Something we haven't had a bit of trouble with Lotro. Yeah. You know, it's not and being it, able to follow the thing all the way up.
It's more like
away.
Multiple stories, one for each level.
Yeah.
But they sort of, yeah.
Excellent.
And I've unlocked the Undine ones now, so I should do those. But I need to finish off the Bajoran stuff. I went to the fire caves to look at the Par Wraiths.
I have no idea what those words are.
Well, it's something from DS9.
Okay.
On Bajor.
I really don't know DS9 at all.
You know
you've
got the wormhole with the...
Yeah.
With the prophets in.
Okay.
Well, some of those were cast out because they were evil, and they're the Par Wraiths who live in these caves on Bajor.
Uh-huh.
Now, I imagine that before this the away team went,
yes.
I turned to my four colleagues and said, right, now, remember, these are the fire caves. I would imagine there's going to be some fire, possibly some lava. If we could avoid falling in it, then that would be peachy. Now,
there's going to be a lot of fire. So what happened?
Go down, lots of walkways over lava.
Yeah.
Some of them with the walkways which have sort of sunk down so they slope into the lava.
Okay, that'll be your clue. Don't walk down those.
Yeah, don't walk down those. If the pathing say suggests. So I'm fighting my way along, then I realise I've lost my chief medical officer. I would like to be healed.
Where is everybody? Guys?
She's gone. Okay. Can't find her. Can't resuscitate.
Smouldering tricorder on top of the lava.
I get one a bit more.
Yeah.
Next, I think, my shields are going down. Where's my chief engineer? He should be stopping this. He's gone. Where's he gone? So I backtrack to try and find out where they are because, you know, they might have been stuck on the scenery.
Uh-huh.
No, it's just the marker on the map saying where they are, not there. They've either jumped off the walkway or walked down one of the slopes following the pathing into the lava.
Fantastic.
Dead. Can't get them back. Only way I can get back is by dying myself, which will reset my entire party. Keep going a bit more. I've got a Breen officer who I got from I think it was the first or the second episodes. So fighting along quite happily, somebody throws some plasma at us.
Mm-hmm.
He jumps out the way off the balcony into the lava, so it's just me and one engineer left.
Oh god.
Yeah, so fighting away quite happily, yeah. And of course the engineer doesn't make it. Shot this time,
kind of expecting five people at this point.
Yeah And in the end I managed to scrape through. I did actually let myself die to reset the party at one point.
Oh god.
Oh
well, it can't all be great.
It's the short ship, really. I'm not Starfleet's finest. And then I went off.
Brought the crew of Voyager along for this one.
And after that, I was very close to becoming Rear Admiral and getting my new ship.
Uh-huh.
So I decided, next mission hadn't become available to me at that point because it needed me to bump up a level to get it.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought I'd do one of the exploration missions.
Okay.
Where basically you go to an expanse of space. You have to go to three unidentified systems. You go there, there'll be a combat thing there, maybe, or I think it's combat there. You have to aid the planet ones where they want 10 units of something,
right?
Which you just replicate. Or there's stuff, you know, on the ground, have to do a bit of scanning.
Okay.
And I found this one where there was this combat mission on the ground.
Yeah.
the True Way Cardassian bad guys are on there. We all been down to the planet. I look around, can't find my party. Run over to the first one, start doing the fight, think they'll show up eventually. Phaser shots coming from out of the ground.
They've fallen in the lava again.
They've sunk through the ground this time.
Transporter accident.
Then
that's material for a whole episode in the series.
Yeah. And then after a while, two of them popped up again. I thought, that's okay, yeah, this will be useful. Then we got to the next group of... I had to kill five groups of Cardassians. Get to the next one. They're underground. I can't target them.
Oh, the enemy's underground.
My officers can target them. So I'm using the... Right, if I click on my officer, I can then click on their target to target the guy.
Suddenly
I can't shoot
RTS.
Him, but I can use their focusing ability to tell them all to shoot it. So I'm just standing there, basically tanking.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Oh.
So not a game that's not without its occasional bug.
A game that's not without its occasional bug. But then I got the level.
Yeah,
I went off to went back to space dock.
Mm-hmm.
Went to talk to the admiral. Got promoted. Went and did. I don't know why I bothered doing it, but I went to the stateroom so I could have the promotion ceremony. Because you get this optional mission where you go there and everyone just says,
ceremony.
How great you are.
Awesome.
It's not a very good ceremony, to be honest.
Oh, I don't know. A bit of recognition. Yeah.
Then I went to look at my ship options for Tier 5. Ah. Tier 5 is the top tier of ships.
Okay.
There's an awful, awful lot of ships there because they keep adding new ones. And so,
of course, most players are going to be at Rear Admirals by now. Yeah.
Or there's actually more than that. They've added more past that.
Yeah.
There's another level.
Oh.
So I worked through the Assault Cruiser was the Sovereign. I thought, okay, I'm going for the Sovereign. I'm going to get bored of the Sovereign after a while and go for the refit Excelsior. I know that.
Uh-huh.
I accept that.
Okay.
But that's a
what's
item
the Sovereign from then?
That's from the Next Gen movies.
Okay.
That's the one
the
that
really big one they got.
Yeah.
Toward the end.
The one that came in First Contact and then they crashed into.
They keep crashing them, yeah. Plenty more letters in the alphabet and all that.
So, yeah, I've got that now.
Excellent.
I shove my Riemann shields on it, so it's
ready
all green.
To boldly go forth?
Yes. It's just so much nicer to be a bit more survivable again. I'm not as manoeuvrable as the Defiant was.
Is it? Does it do that? Like, the bigger the ships are, the more battleshipy they become.
Yeah. The Defiant only had a couple of forward... had a couple of rear-facing guns and more forward ones. This has got four forward, four rear.
Oh, I'd kill for forward arcs. Pirates of the Burning Sea is almost all broadside. A few ships have front and back.
Well, when you broadside someone, you've just got phasers on them, which is really good for getting their shields down. But then you need to switch over to your torpedoes, which are forward and rear arc.
Uh-huh.
So then you need to turn around and manoeuvre. And it's a bit harder in a Sovereign, whereas in the Defiant, it's basically a case of... shove everything to your forward shields, run at them screaming, firing all you can, and hope, Sir Betsy, that the explosion goes off behind you because your forward shields aren't there anymore and the explosion will kill you.
That sounds a bit precarious, yeah.
It's fun.
Uh-huh.
I do miss the manoeuvrability of the Defiant. That's really nice. It flies like a fighter almost.
Can you have more than one ship?
I've got loads of ships, yeah.
So you can switch between them and...
Yeah, but going back to the previous tier one, I don't see any advantage for that.
Oh, no. What I mean is, can you have two or three different tier five ones
switch
between them as the need demands?
Yeah, I could have one of the fancy galaxies if I wanted, or I will end up with the Excelsior at some stage.
Fair enough.
Because I will get bored of just having one ship.
Mm.
And I'm getting to the point where leveling no longer becomes a point of the game, and I'm going to run at the main plot, and I don't know what's going to happen then.
What's the end game in Star Trek here?
Well, there's the fleet actions and stuff.
Sort of raiding, I suppose.
I'm not entirely sure I'm going to be bothered with those. So the game may well just drop down to a point where I'm just logging in for the episodes. Also the Foundry thingy.
That'd be worth a look, surely.
Yes, that's in the beta, and their focus now, after this episode's finished, they say, is to get that finished and get it up and running.
So that should be along soon in the next couple of months?
Yeah, in the next couple of months that'll go in properly.
Yeah.
And that'll at least give me some content.
Oh, there'll be loads of content. How much of it will be any good? It's another matter.
Most of it will be rubbish, but some of them will be excellent.
Yeah.
And the community will help find those for people.
Well, I think the key, if they're going to do that kind of thing, is to make sure that the search tools are very diverse and robust. But yeah, it sounds good.
Yeah, and so yeah, I'm still really enjoying that.
Excellent.
And that's my MMOs, so I can go to console games now.
Righto, what have you played?
Oh, what did I play? I played a bit of Bulletstorm.
Bulletstorm, that's new, isn't it?
Yeah, that's new.
Mm.
That's the new...
what is it? I get the impression it's just some... What is it? It's like a game show where you got to kill people?
No, it's a first-person shooter. Yeah. You're a mercenary guy, ex-military guy. You crash land on a planet,
yeah,
and you're basically trying to get off, and you get off by... You're trying to find your... arch enemy who you crash landed because for some bizarre reason, because you are an idiot and a drunkard. You are actually a drunkard.
Excellent.
You attacked his big ship to get rid of him, but you crashed in the process, but you took him down, and you're trying to get to where he is so that the rescue will come and rescue you as well, and you can get off the planet. And it's basically a first person shooter, which is very green. It's a bright game using the Unreal Engine, which is nice. It reminds,
a nice change.
Reminds me a lot of Enslaved.
Oh yeah,
That had a similar type of nice aesthetic.
I think we're seeing more of those as a reaction to the stereotypical World of Brown shooter.
Yeah, I think
so. I think that's a good thing. Yeah,
But the key to this game is it's points based.
Yeah,
you get points for your kills. So you know, a headshot will be some points.
But Style bonuses.
Yeah, but your second headshot will be less points. Because you only get...
You have to keep mixing it up.
Yeah. And you've got this whip thing, which you can use to pull people towards you. And so it's stuff like, you know, pull someone towards you, kick them away, then give them a headshot. Or you kick them away, shoot them in the arse. That sort of thing. And you get interesting points for that. Or you might get extra points for... there's a sort of a bolus explosive thing. And if you fire that and cut someone in half, you might get extra points for that.
Lovely, yeah.
And it's really quite fun. I don't think a lot of people understand it, but it is actually a leaderboard-based points game. It's the replay on that. I think that's...
Bit like Just Cause 2 with your grappling hook and all the weird and wonderful ways you can take people out.
But
with that.
It's sort of like the Geometry Wars type. You just want to see how good up you can get on the on the leaderboard.
So the story element of it is a bit of a distraction from the real thing, which
I think so,
is probably just seeing how well you do with points.
It's interesting to see the way that they managed to put this into a first-person shooter. It's possibly the most interesting first-person shooter I've played all year.
Okay, that's a fair recommendation. You've played a lot. That's including all your big Call of Duties and things.
In fact, it stopped me playing Killzone. I've been playing it instead of Killzone at the moment.
So yeah, if you're looking for a quirky bit of something different,
I definitely recommend it.
Yeah,
and we need to actually sometime this week we're going to play some of the multiplayer, which will be fun.
Okay,
there's a nice group-based co-op lobby. I really recommend Bulletstorm. It's fun and it's got humour. And people say it's all childish and designed for kids. No, it's not. If you think that, you're not looking at it right.
Strange children.
Yeah, it's purely a way to do the leaderboard social stuff. That's what all that aspect of the game is, and it is great.
Excellent.
What next did I play? The Darkness.
Yeah.
They announced The Darkness too.
Darkness 2.
Yeah,
so I suddenly thought, the pressure's on. Yeah.
I thought I'd better get past level 1 on The Darkness 1 then. So
that's quite an old title, isn't
it? Yeah, 97. So I thought, right, I will complete this game, get through the plot. I remembered why I completely gave up on it the first time. Because there's basically two main locations in the game where everything hubs off of.
Okay.
And those are underground stations.
Ah.
And I hadn't realised there were two ways out of them.
So you're missing half the game.
So, yes, I couldn't figure out where to go to do the
signposting,
next...
Signposting, see?
I couldn't figure out where to go to do the next mission, and I spent ages going around this one area.
And then you criticised Star Trek Online for drawing you a glowing line to the next thing you need to do.
Star Trek Online would have been annoying if it didn't have the glowing line. this time I figured out the fact that I could go out to a different place, and maybe my mission objectives would be there.
It's only dumbing down if you're smart enough not to need it, yes.
Yeah. Now, The Darkness is based on a graphic novel, which I hadn't read.
Okay.
Although I did actually buy a compendium of it.
Which you've since rectified. Uh-huh.
Yeah. I haven't actually read it yet.
Oh, okay.
Which is basically about a guy who on his 21st birthday, all the males in his family get these powers from the darkness powers thingies. And he's a mafia type person.
Okay.
And not very savoury person. He is quite nasty.
He's a bit of a nasty piece of work to begin with. And then he gets super darkness powers.
Yep. Mm. And basically, you get portrayed at the start, and you decide you don't want to do this anymore. And you then spend the rest of the time with the bad guys, the mafia bad guys, your family, trying to get rid of you and annoy you, and you getting exceedingly angry at them and trying to deal with this. To the point where if the bad guys hadn't been doing this to you, you would have got bored and given up. But after they blew up the orphanage that you grew up in, you have no choice but to kill them all.
See, this, I was watching you playing it, and I honestly couldn't believe my eyes when they actually blew up an orphanage. I thought that was just like an exaggerated cliche used to illustrate how bad someone is. Yep. No, they do it. This is a real orphanage. Boom. Crazy.
Yeah.
So they're evil then, are they? Yes.
Not knowing anything about the graphic novel,
yep,
I was not expecting the World War One segment in hell.
Yeah, threw me a bit.
Yeah.
The hell, what's wrong with these people? Where are we now?
Up until that point, it was just a so-so game. But yeah, the moment you got there, it turned into something quite interesting. And I got hooked.
It was certainly exotic.
A game I completely written off back in the day.
Just because of bad signposting or lack of spotting an exit?
Because of my inability to play computer games.
But it
which is something that I think I need to address. But yeah, I actually really enjoy the game. And before, I didn't really care if there was going to be a sequel. Now I really want to play it.
Well, yeah, but if you get far enough in and find yourself captivated and drawn in by the story, next thing you know, you finished the thing.
Yeah.
But it's needing to pick that up early on, I suppose.
You get loads of powers. You've got this ability to send little tendrils out, so I think they're little creatures. It's hard to tell because you can't see yourself when you turn around.
I think they're supposed to be tentacles that just extend a very long way.
You've got an aliens-style tail whip attack. You've also got a black hole.
A black hole?
You can create a black hole behind them, and it will suck everyone around them into it.
Awesome.
Let you guess which weapon towards the end is the one you use for every problem.
Well, that's your trouble, isn't it? Every problem you encounter, you just throw a black hole at it.
Yeah.
Some things are more subtle than that.
Enemies hiding behind those barrels, black hole.
Black hole, whoomph, yeah.
It solves everything.
Yeah, fair enough.
Oh, you can also summon darklings.
Oh, they're brilliant.
Yeah. There's a lovely gunner one who's got the cigar and...
sort of goblin things, aren't they?
In fact, if you watch Zero Punctuation or whatever has, those little demon-y creature things are darklings. Because they came from
his review. Oh, the
little
black pointy...
Yeah,
pointy
they came from his review of The Darkness.
Ah, I see. So, yeah. Going back a bit there, yeah.
It's a good game. It's not a triple A brilliant game, but it is a very, very enjoyable game. The game itself is a little bit shoddy in places, but
as a technical shooter, I suppose.
Yeah, as a technical shooter, yeah, there are better. But as a world, it's brilliant.
And the powers are quite interesting as well.
I really liked it. Oh, there's an awful lot of shooting out, destroying light, so you're in darkness because your powers only work when it's dark. Lightness hurts.
So it's almost like Thief, I suppose, like with the water arrows and the torches. You're spending a lot of time if you've got the gun and one bullet, you shoot out the lamp behind him, not the guy, and then all your darkness powers can do
exactly
the rest of it.
It's very much like Thief, but if in Thief you had these two little tentacles who were on your shoulders, and when you've killed someone you can eat out their heart
for bonus points
using these tentacles.
Okay, not a lot like Thief then. Right.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. It's great fun. And
it looks good. It looks like it'd be worth a second-hand purchase if you see it.
Yeah, it's something like a tenner at the moment.
Find it on Amazon or whatever.
Yeah, it's rent. It's definitely worth it. What else did I play? I played, Black Ops.
I don't really remember you having talked about it much on the show.
No.
Because you just don't like it a lot.
Oh, single player Black Ops. Not to insult anyone who likes a single player Black Ops.
And before you carry on, this is the best selling game ever of all time
in
all formats.
That's because everyone's
wrong. Everyone in the world.
No, I know what it is.
Yeah.
The single player has pacing issues.
Okay.
It's all action. There is very few points where you're walking along saying, ooh, that looks pretty.
Yeah, yeah.
And you need some of that.
I remember a lot of that from Bad Company 2. There was a lot of just driving around, gawping at the scenery and stuff, as well as the gunfire.
It's like they've optimised Black Ops to be
Let's get this single player bit out of the way as quickly as possible.
The combat's what the important bit. The combat's what everyone likes. We'll make it just the combat.
And is that a genuine design concern? That you know, the previous shooters had too much boring story stuff.
Does it
feel like that's what they've done? They've just tried to get all the make it action all the time because people have no patience for story.
I don't know if it's because of patience. I think they might have just wanted to make it tighter and tighter and tighter.
I suppose. Yeah.
And they've made it so tight they strangled it.
Fair enough.
The plot itself is insanely stupid, told through flashbacks to every Black Ops thing in every interesting situation ever.
Mm.
It sort of makes sense.
Fair enough.
Not really, though.
I guess not many people are buying these kinds of games for the story anyway.
But the multiplayer is sublime, so what can you do?
Yeah, there you go. That's the purpose of it, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Is to be a fantastic multiplayer shooter.
Yeah. It is one of those, you know, 10 out of 10 for being a shooter and sort of 5 out of 10 for a half-assed single player.
Fair enough. Maybe we're missing the point.
And occasionally you get in a vehicle.
Yeah.
And if you play Battlefield,
yeah,
there's a bit of the start with a Jeep, or is it a car, something, one or the other.
Bad Company 2, yeah, you're in the back of a truck trying to shoot down the helicopter.
Yeah. Well, no, you get to drive in Bad Company.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, especially in the multiplayer. Mm. But in COD, you get in a Jeep, you have to use accelerate and reverse.
Yeah.
You get in a Blackbird.
Yeah.
You have to use accelerate, pull back, and that's it. You've got no real control. It just sort of turns driving into a quick time event.
Oh.
But a very sedate quick time event.
They sort of cheated on the vehicles and made them part of the on-rails experience rather than vehicles proper.
Yeah. And sort
this is how you get to the next level. You push a button here and then you pull back.
Sort of. But no, they're in the middle of levels.
Oh, right.
And it basically gives you this whole, you see, you're sort of interacting with this vehicle, but you're not.
It's
you
like think they didn't want...
controlling
they
it
didn't want to put a vehicle in do a proper vehicle physics engine or?
Well it's never been about the using vehicles.
That's the
Battlefield model. But I don't know, it just feels wrong, tacked on badly wrong.
Fair enough.
Apart from that, great.
Yeah No, there you go. So again, esoteric tastes.
Yes. And I think the last thing I played was a bit more Assassin's Creed on my phone.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, which, it's okay.
Hmm.
The only reason I want to mention it, though, is the really, really crappy looped samples, which they use for stuff like crowd scenes, you being hurt, or even worse, fire. There is a gap between them.
Oh.
So it does the fire sound for a bit, stops for a second, does the fire sound for a bit again, and it sounds awful.
Technical limitations there, or just bad?
No, just bad. Coding. Just okay. Bad coding, bad. So, I think that's all I've played.
Right. Should we do the Twitter question?
Oh, we can do the Twitter question.
Am I going to fill while you sort out devices
again?
Like
I sorted out when I wasn't listening to you.
Oh, excellent. Time well spent.
Yeah, very well. I also did my accounts. Right,
get on with it.
The Twitter question this week was...
Yep.
What's the Twitter question this week?
I asked it. It was, what feature from earlier Mimosas has gone that you'd like back? Or something along those lines.
Yeah, words along those lines.
I'm sort of reflecting and musing on progress from our last topic show.
Winsley says, ASCII graphics and 8-bit tunes.
Oh, chip tunes.
Yeah. They never went away.
They never went away, no.
Tiger Ears, friends, where did they all go? Rifts, I imagine.
Oh, I feel sorry for the guy now.
Yeah. Eric Stowe, the extended crafting in Star Wars Galaxies was so fun to run your own shop, planting harvesters, etc.
Oh, well, yes and no. I mean, I enjoyed it, and then it burnt me out of the game and I went mad, but yes.
Well, shop. Teamwork. Unity, all for one feeling rather than the all for me that exists now.
Lamenting what, enforced grouping, the soloist, the solo friendly games that have made us all not know how to deal with people anymore. I don't know.
Gazrini says, I would have said EQ2's early crafting co-reliance, but I have it again in Lotro now. Missed it for a few years though.
Yeah, the needing people who do other recipes to make stuff so you can get your things done. It works well if it works, but it's very frustrating if you don't know anyone who can polish your gems in Lotro, for example.
Hervox says, copying item stats in Earth Eternal. Why settle for ugly but good gear when you can copy the stats for better looking items?
Oh, that's a sort of reverse appearance slot idea, is it? You just copy the stats over onto a different looking piece of gear instead of applying. Yeah, sounds cool.
Slugnut, he says, customer support. Thanks for nothing, Turbine. The lack of CS forced me to cancel my sub. Lojo also.
I've generally got by without any customer support. I'll just let bugs go and ignore about it or petition things. But I don't know. Do we feel public customer service has taken a back seat in these modern days? Is it more possibly automated?
Mm. Ditz, who bizarrely is still listening, apparently, despite the fact that I keep going on about Grit and Trisbeck 5 being rubbish, says vehicle battles for Auto Assault. We'd love more mounted combat, etc., to make a return.
I loved Auto Assault.
Auto Assault was great.
I feel bad about killing it now.
Yeah, you shouldn't have killed it.
I hope we see something similar again one day. It was, absolutely unique.
Lila Turkey says, player housing that was out in the world like in UO.
Well, Star Wars Galaxies famously doing that in 3D as well. That was a good implementation.
I sort of missed it now. I never really missed the trying to find somewhere to put stuff down.
Yeah, I don't miss the one having adventurers in the middle of housing estates. There's a place for all that stuff, but yeah.
Dr. Terak says, I'm playing DCUO and Champions Online. I'm missing the character dress up as City of Heroes. DCUO, no choice. CO, ugly graphics.
Oh, I see. Interesting.
Actually, I miss nothing. It is all better now. Unless playing with some of my friends that only want to play EQ2 is a feature.
Oh. Yeah, well, that's a good forward-looking attitude there.
Bo Heinrich says, I'm going to bet you that everyone answers will come from not just old MMOs, but still existing MMOs. They ain't gone yet. Yes, good point. Tepetastic, rather predictably.
Oh, here we go.
Tabula Rasa in general.
You can't have in general. Features, man, features.
Yes, Matt, Tabula Rasa's still gone.
Leave me alone.
That's mean, isn't it? But specifically, its system of clones at key points in character progression. Also, Galaxy skill blocks.
I think the cloning along the way reduced its lifespan by removing replayability. I don't know. It's a tricky call, that one.
Yeah. And the Star Wars Galaxy skill blocks, I love those.
Yeah.
They were neat.
That was a nice different change from the usual treadmill.
Joe Hart says, Star Wars Galaxies. In fact, all modern MMOs aren't pre-NGE Star Wars Galaxies.
Yeah, there was a lot of... I
like that game.
I had my fill of it at the time, but I can't now go back, and that's a shame.
I felt like I was home there.
Yeah.
Next. Cyberdyne says, from Dark Ages of Camelot, my own personal auction house attached to my own house.
Oh, right. Interesting.
New Eden Pilot says, absolutely none. What's tried and left behind must have helped us evolve, but apart from that, let bygones be bygones.
Ruthless Darwinianism, that's the way forward.
Night Fright says, I miss the bounty system. I wish more games would implement some sort of player bounties.
Bounty system?
That would be Galaxies.
Galaxies, I guess, yeah. Oh, I vaguely remember that.
Yes, you could put bounties on people.
Yeah.
Ian Dean says, Ashon calls monthly story updates, though maybe STO will help bring it back. Yes, that's what I love about STO, and it's exactly that.
I think Ashon's Call was weekly, wasn't it, back in the day? Certainly Ashon's Call 1. I mean, I think AC2, they'd sort of scaled it back to monthly because it was just a bigger job. But yeah, just regular. Doesn't have to be big. I mean, this Star Trek Online current thing is doing them immense favours and getting them a lot of kudos and appreciation.
I am going to appreciate them not having a gigabyte of patches every week.
Well, yeah. It's got him playing MMOs. You know, that's not many people can do that.
Cryptic, you can use that in your advertising.
Yeah, exactly.
Ogmar,
so good even John plays.
Ogmar Air says, nothing. I really believe that MMOs get better with every iteration.
Yeah, but they can learn from the past and incorporate those things
sometimes
as they go forwards.
Sometimes features are overlooked and missed, I think.
Mm-hmm. There are good ideas that do fall through the cracks, I think.
Nod Hero says, no base building in Champions Online. I was addicted to the base editor in City of Heroes.
Oh, I remember that, yeah. Yeah, supergroup bases. Good fun. And surprisingly versatile as well for something that old. They were in from a very long time ago, way before the architect.
Yeah.
Mm.
Zona 21, Earth and Beyond's monthly story updates. There was a running storyline that would be added to every month with content. Another vote for this sensible option.
Yeah, that's basically Ashron's Call, very similar, and current Star Trek Online. Yep. Yeah, if you loved that Earth and Beyond story updates, probably give Star Trek Online a go by the sounds of things.
And I think that would be... Oh, no, BC Animus... not so much a feature, but I rather miss the gameplay styles of older games which required more socialisation.
Yeah. I don't know. You have to sort of balance that against what WoW did with soloization that made them as popular as they are. I mean, people mostly want to solo, but with the option of grouping, yeah. I think. But then, unless you're required to group, you get in the habit of not doing so at all.
And he also says, also not a feature, but I miss the dance emotes from Tabula Rasa. RTR, will we ever stop mourning your passing?
It seems not.
No. I'm not going to mock you for that one. I'm going to mock Matt again, because Matt did actually kill it by stopping Tabula Cast.
Aha, fair enough. Excellent. Yes. Thanks for all those. And we'll have another one next week.
Yes.
So what did you learn this week?
I learned that I really don't want to go to war.
And
really,
I
don't want to go to war.
I learned that I am actually a lot more morally ambiguous than I thought I was, and ended up getting a neutral ending in Bioshock 2. It affected me deeply. So with that, we'll see you next time.
Goodbye.